She, go ahead. So coming off of what Elder Allison taught on Thursday, there was a tremendous fragment that the Lord gave me. And it is really, really important that we lend our ear to this today, because it's really going to just cut to the chase. The teaching Thursday was powerful on seeing how Satan was sitting on the thigh of the body, just like Jacob. The parallel was so tremendous, and it was just really, really, really powerful to see that. And some of the definitions that she shared were key, very, very important, because you're looking at the strategy of the enemy. The Lord took me kind of deep in this, and when she taught, he really showed that this was the enemy's plan from the beginning. And I'm going to go ahead and get into it, because I got a little ground to cover this morning, but just keep your ear to this. Let this be the anointing that destroys the yoke
Amen.
of us not really being in a place of focus when we honor and we honor the Lord. We need to know what we're really doing. Every time we honor him, we need to know that we're sitting God on the throne, that Satan has tried to exalt himself above. And so we need to understand, and our worship really has to ascend to a place of understanding. We don't just want to worship God with words that sound like worship. We
Amen.
want to worship in a place of understanding what we're doing. We want to worship God because we know who. That's what I believe Jesus told the woman at the well. We know who we worship. We know what we're doing. And we want to have the same. We want to be able to say, we know, I know what I'm doing. Like Satan said about Job, does Job honor you for nothing? No, Job understands why he honors you. And so when we start to honor, we want to understand that we're taking Satan's kingdom, we're taking his throne, and we are pulling him off his throne every time we put God first. All right, so I gathered a fragment from Elder Allison on Thursday night. The Lord revealed that if we don't commit to honor, don't commit to honoring him, Satan's throne is really our thigh. And that's the title of my message today. Satan's throne is our thigh. And Elder Allison taught that he sits on our thigh. And it makes sense, because leaders or kings sit on thrones. And it made sense that the thigh of the body is also the throne of Satan. And it's really, really powerful there. And it's all about, it really comes down to the one word that we've been dealing with for the last several weeks: honor. Who we honor determines who's sitting on the throne. All right. So now, the thigh of the body of Christ, this was his plan from the beginning. And that's what I want to really focus on today. This was his plan from the, he knew exactly what he was doing. So it's time for us to dethrone him once and for all. It's time for this congregation to rise in the sides of the north. And we will achieve it, I'm telling you now. And the body will be free in the true exalted place of God's peace.
Amen.
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 We look at Isaiah 14 and 12. Isaiah 14 and 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" All right, O Lucifer, son of the morning. So I'm gonna bold out Lucifer. I'm gonna bold out sun, because we're gonna focus on these three words and morning. All right. So first off, it says here, "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" But his name Lucifer means light bearer. And I thought this was pretty interesting, because what we're talking about is how he understood what he was doing when he made mention of sitting on the congregation, on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He knew what he was thinking about doing. He knew exactly how he was going to do what he was going to do to exalt himself above God. He understood exactly. These aren't just words we're reading in the Bible. This was his plan being revealed.
Amen.
All right, this is his plan. This is premeditated by Lucifer. In his transition from Lucifer to Satan, this is how he transitioned. by this thought and this plan that was conceived in him. And now he transitions from Lucifer to Satan. But Lucifer means light bearer. Son, the word son, means a builder of the family. All right? And the word morning means light, or to seek diligently. It also means to seek early. Okay? So now we're looking at this here and what this means. So Lucifer is a light bearer. Son is a builder of the family. And morning is light, or seek diligently, or to seek early. So he's a light bearer. That means, I'm going to cut to the chase there. He was a bearer of rhema. He was a bearer of the light. God's light is his word. And he was a bearer of the light. He was a builder of the family. And I had to think about that for a few and meditate on that for a few so God could give me an understanding. He was a builder of the family. And he was a seeker of God. He would seek diligently, or seek early, to know God. Lucifer was a lot closer than we imagine or than we think. He was a lot closer to God, and he had an understanding. I'm going to actually tell you something that really kind of really shook me for a minute. Not shook me, but caused me to go ooh and ah. The word morning, one of the root words of morning, is alpha. And so now Lucifer had, he was noted as, the word son also means firstborn. So Lucifer was like a kind of a type and shadow of who Christ would be. He was he was God's first. He was first it next to God at that time. He was number one, given a whole third of heaven to follow him. And God gave him a third. God kept two thirds for himself. And Lucifer had a third. And this is the closeness that he had with God. He understood God. He wasn't void of understanding. Amen.
Amen.
It says here in Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, which means God's deity. I'm going to go above God, not just the sons of the Messiah, but I'm going to go above God himself. I will sit also upon the congregation, on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And as Elder Allison taught so diligently on Thursday, the word sides means flank or thigh. All right. So now he's sitting on the thigh. That's where he sits, and that's where he holds us. And we found out that it comes by way of the north. He sits in the sides of the north, which means what he's doing is he's making a throne to where we may hoard or we may deny. The word north means to hoard or to deny. It also means to protect or to esteem. To esteem what? Treasure. The word treasure means wealth, such as money, jewels, or precious metals stored up or hoarded. So now he sits basically on our substance. And I want you to understand that from two different positions. Not everybody moves in abundance, but he can still sit on your thigh through your lack. When you are looking to wealth or money that you don't have and your emotions are changing because of the lack thereof, he's still sitting on your thigh. He's still sitting. The way you treat your circumstance financially determines his seat. Whether you got abundance in it and you're hoarding it, and you do not honor God with it, or whether you're in lack and you're still not honoring God because you esteem your needs higher than God's, and you keep putting God, what you're doing is you're giving Satan himself a seat on the thigh of the body. You're not rising into a place of God's peace. It was his plan from the beginning. He knew that he would do this, and it makes so much sense because it really comes down to honor. What he would do is, what he was going to do is suppress the congregation. He was going to suppress us in the area of abundance and or lack to gain his seat. And let me tell you, you either honor God or you honor Satan. You can't honor both. I'm going to say that again. You either honor God or you honor Satan. You can't honor both. So what Satan would do was make his way in to to a place of where our substance is. Again, I say it again, whether it's an abundance or lack, if you don't honor God because of abundance, or you don't honor God because of your lack, then I'm telling you right now, you're honoring Satan. And so therefore, you do give him, in essence, an exalted throne above God.
It's Jesus.
Because you honor him before God. You honor his system before the Lord. And because of that, that's how he said, I will exalt my throne above. I'm going to suppress the honor. See, you got to understand. Let's go back up to the definition of son. Son means a builder of the family. And I thought about this. I said, my goodness, Lord, you tasked him. You gave Lucifer the task through the light that he had, through the understanding that he had of who you are. You gave him the task to be a builder of the rest of the family of heaven. He would cover your throne with praise and worship. That was honor. Somebody better hear that. He would cover the throne of God with praise and worship, which equaled honor. So he knew how God was exalted by honor. He, Lucifer, was a son of the morning, a builder of the family. He would bring the family of heaven into a place of honor. So he saw God exalted by honor through praise and through worship. He saw God. So therefore, he derived a plan within himself to take that honor and exalt himself above God.
Oh, God.
Every time we miss honoring God with our substance, we are helping to exalt Satan and this world above God. He knew how to be a builder of the family. It was through honoring the Father. He said, okay, I'm the son of the morning. Okay, I know this. So what I'll do is I'll reverse it. I'll steal his honor from the congregation. And I'll do it by what they hold dear in the sides of the north. I'll sit on their thigh because I'll cause them to either hoard or become despondent because they don't have a substance. But I'll steal it either way. He knew how to build God and he knew how to exalt God. So therefore he reversed it and said, I know how to exalt myself. I'll steal his honor. Watch this now. Let's go a little bit further. Let me read my note. First, we need to note that Lucifer was titled the son of the morning. His name meant light bearer. This means he was the son of God's light. And we all know God's light is his rhema. Son meaning a builder of family. So he was tasked through his worship and praise unto God, not only to cover the throne of God, but to keep the family of heaven thriving with his praise and worship unto God. He had an understanding of honor. He knew that while heaven would honor God, it would keep God exalted. So what he did in this transition from his transition state from Lucifer to Satan was derive a plan to exalt himself above God by stealing God's honor. Remember, we can't serve God and mammon. So if we're serving mammon, we're in essence serving, I'm going to tell you, don't get mad at me, we're in essence serving Satan.
That's the truth.
True.
We can't serve God and mammon. If we hold back, the word mammon means to hold back. If we keep back or hold back, we are now honoring Satan. And what we're doing is exalting him. And at the same time, he sits on the thigh. He sits on our true prosperity. He's sitting on our breakthrough. He's sitting on our peace. He's sitting on our relationship with the triune God. He's stopping us. I love how Elder Allison finished her message that Jesus would write on his thigh, on his vest and on his thigh, written King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because this is where the fight is. This is the trenches right here. Are we going to hold to the one and despise the other? Are we going to continue to hold on to our substance and not even really, really exalt God? Are we going to allow this to continue, even knowing that while we will not honor God, we exalt Satan himself? Are we going to continue like this? Because God is pouring out a rhema word unto us to teach us how to pull Satan down off the throne and teach him and teach us how to get him out of the place of authority and how he controls and manipulates our situations. through substance. So every time we choose not to honor God, we give Satan an exalted throne. Who we honor, listen, who we honor determines who is exalted. Lucifer knew from the beginning exactly what he was doing. We are so hung up on substance, whether from the standpoint of abundance or lack, we don't realize that we are continuing to give Satan an exalted throne and power. When we turn to the Lord with our honor, not only do we become one, but we tear Satan's seat of authority down. I'm going to say that again. When we turn to the Lord with our honor, not only do we become one in the body, but we also remove, we tear down Satan's seat of authority. That's what the throne is. Authority. So now we tear down the prince of this world's power. And we replace it essentially with God sitting on the throne, God being in authority. We see that transition in the book of Acts. They tore down Satan. They tore him down. And there was no stopping God when God wanted to do something. Why? Because the throne of the enemy was torn down.
That's God.
The throne of God replaced it. So we see healing. We see deliverance. We see prosperity. We see all these things because God was sitting on the throne. So now Satan and his kingdom were torn down, and he could not stop them in any which way, shape, or form. Physical, mental, financial, spiritual, everything was enhancing. Everything was thriving.
That's true.
Because their substance went unto the Lord. So we enter fully into the Father's peace. We tear down Satan's seat of authority, and we enter fully into the Father's peace, just as they did. But this was his plan. Make no mistake, it was Satan's plan from the beginning. It was the plan of Lucifer before he became Satan. I know how to honor God. I know that God lives, listen, he lives in the praises of his people. So I know how to even cause God not to live, because I'll steal praise or honor from him. I'll steal it, and then he'll be obsolete. I'll be the one ruling and reigning, all because I'm stopping them from honoring him with substance. I'll get them asphyxiated on the things of this world, and I'll keep them trapped within it, and I will be exalted. This was the plan. It was really and truthfully, I'm trying to tell you, it was premeditated. He understood it.
Jesus.
And we by lacking or being lack or slack in our honor, we are keeping him in that position. So the prince of the power of the air is ruling circumstances, stopping the anointing, if you will, from coming in, stopping the peace from being what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be our prosperity. It's supposed to be our favor. It's supposed to be the welfare system of our God. But because our honor has been jacked up, we've given Satan a seat, and it's on the thigh of the body of Christ. It's on the thigh of the body. His throne is the thigh. Our honor determines whether or not we can dethrone him, or will we give him a seat to rule and to reign over us like he has been. The devil, he's a liar in my eyes, and he's coming off that throne. I, myself, for me, this is my choice. I'm deciding to dethrone him by honoring God with my substance.
Amen.
And with the first fruit of all of my increase.
Amen. Amen, God.
Amen. I'm not going to let him reign and rule over me and determine the outcome of my life any longer. With the knowledge of every time I open my eyes and I say, Lord, I have of my substance. What would you have? What would you have me give today? Every time I open my eyes and I say those words, Satan is dethroned all over again. Every time I open up everything I've got under God, Satan is dethroned and God is sitting on the throne. Remember this here, and I'm reminded of this. In the Garden of Eden, We see where it hooks in. I thought about this, and I really, 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 really considered this. They were told that they could not eat of every tree in the garden. They could have every tree in the garden, rather, but the one that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were not to touch it. When Satan caused Eve to touch substance that did not belong to her, fruit, the word fruit also translates substance. When he caused them to touch the fruit of the garden, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was his plan in operation.
Wow.
She did not honor what God said about that tree. That tree belonged to God. She essentially stole. Well, the Bible says this, child of God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We need to be honoring him with what's already his. Well, we're no different from Eve. We're allowing Satan to cause us to look at substance that does not essentially belong to us every time we don't honor. So Satan's plan, now watch this, as Eve now takes substance that's not hers, we now see the scripture come to pass that the love of money is the root of all evil. So now Eve's desire for a tree or fruit that she was not supposed to have puts his plan in full motion. Yeah. Just like I caused Eve to dishonor God, all of mankind will dishonor God.
Jesus.
What is your fruit? What is your fruit? What is yours? Is it the abundance that you might hold? Or is it, are you eating more of the oppression that you might have? Because the Bible says, trust not in oppression. But what we do is we get into these lulls in oppressiveness or being oppressed because of lack. And we eat the fruit thereof because our emotions are tied to it. We get all jacked up in our thinking. We let all this stuff come in and out of our fear and all kinds of doubt. We're eating that fruit, people of God. And as we eat that fruit, we're honoring Satan and we're not honoring God. But if you release your substance unto God, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it's not even what you give to God that will honor him. It says it's if you have a willing heart, that's what's counted toward you.
Right.
If your heart just become willing to put God first today, God will, my goodness, it's already started. Yep. You've already dethroned the enemy because you're allowing your heart to open.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Watch this here. Watch this. So we see Satan's plan move in operation there as he deceives Eve to eating something that didn't belong to her, taking substance that was not hers. We look at the word again, honor. We go a little bit deeper. So we honor the one or the other. It's either God or Satan. Watch this. We go back over to Proverbs 3:9. We go back over to where we've been and we look at it again. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. We know the promise behind that in verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses will burst out with new wine. But we look back at the word honor, the word kabod. And I looked at it again, and we talked about it being weighty or heavier. But I looked at it again, and I saw within the definition how it can go, honor can go to either Satan or God. It's right here in the very definition we've been reading. This is the exact definition on your screen. It says to be heavy or weighty. Then it says in a bad sense. I didn't realize that before, but it really lightened after Ella Allison taught her message on how that, Satan is sitting on the thigh. So there's a bad sense here, which really means the honor goes to Satan. So watch this. If your giving is burdensome, the word bad, in a bad sense, it says it's burdensome. If it's severe, or if it's just flat out dull, you're now in a place of honoring Satan. But honor's going somewhere. Just know that. So if it's burdensome, if it feels severe, or it's just dull, you're honoring Satan. I don't care, I'm gonna say it again. You could be giving your money to God, but if it's burdensome, if it feels severe, or if it's dull, you're not honoring God. Jesus.
God.
Mm-hmm. If it's burdensome, severe, or dull, if it's mundane, you're not honoring God. God said it like this: if I was hungry, I'd never tell you. You can't give me nothing that I don't already have. So you might be giving, but if it's burdensome, severe, or dull, you're still not giving to God. In a good sense, it means it's numerous, it's rich. Now, the word rich there is not talking about like money. It's rich in feeling, it's rich, it's honorable, it's causatively. Now, that's the word I like right there, causatively. All right, we're going to look at that word in just a second. When you're giving out of a place of it being causatively, all right, that the word causatively, we'll go right to it right now. The word causatively means that it's become your cause. God has become your cause. Yeah, there's a connection here. So looking deeper into the definition, causatively or to make weighty. So in a good sense, we're going to keep the word causatively for a minute. But let me read the note. Looking deeper into the definition of honor, we can plainly see there are two types of honor: a bad sense, which is under Satan, and a good sense, which is under God, our Father. If honoring God with our substance is burdensome, severe, or dull, we honor Satan. In a good sense, we see the word causatively. It means to make the cause, and I like this word here, or the factor. Is God a factor? Is pleasing God, honoring God? Is it become a factor? Have you bought into his cause? Are you with him in the cause that he has? Do you understand what giving your substance is going to do? It's going to bless the needy. It's going to bless the poor. And I'm not talking about folks on the street. I'm talking about the church itself. Yep. It's going to bring the church into oneness. Are you into the cause of God? I understand that when I give my substance, this is how I give, that it brings me into a place of oneness in the body. Now, I'm tapped into the cause. God has become the number one factor in my substance. Now, my honor's going to God with a purpose, with an understanding. I'm not just trying to do it in a burdensome manner. I'm not trying to do it and it be dull with me. No. That's not how I'm doing it. I'm doing it with a cause, with an understanding. God is my factor. Being a part of this body, being in oneness, and also now I have another cause: I'm dethroning Satan. In a good sense, it's causatively. There's purpose behind it. It's not just something that you're doing in a mundane fashion. Something that you're doing because God is the factor here. God's purpose is the factor. I'm a part of the body. I have supply coming into my joint. Oh my God, he is exalted here. Satan is dethroned. I'm doing it with a cause. I understand why Satan said it again under Job. Does Job honor you for nothing? He had a cause. He saw God exalted in his life. Is God our cause and the number one factor in our lives? When he becomes that, then we truly honor God. Then I look deeper into the definition again. It's a fine line and the door swings both ways. It's a very fine line of who you're honoring. There's a fine line. There's a very fine line. In the same sense, the definition goes on to say, in the same two senses, meaning that it swings both ways. Abounding with, it means. More grievously. Boasting. Bedim. It means glorify. Make glorious. And then after it says make glorious, things is in parentheses. Are you making things glorious? Or are you making God glorious? The door swings both ways. Are you hardened towards Satan's kingdom? Or are you hardened towards God because you're grieving or you don't like the fact that you have to give or that you're worshiping? You can't be worshiping if you're hardened. To make heavy, is God heavier or is your circumstance heavier? It means bring to. Who are you bringing it to? It can swing either way. Because when you bring it with an attitude, for God so loveth a cheerful giver, if you're bringing it in any other manner, then you're bringing it to the wrong person. You're not even, imagine giving something to the kingdom of God, or imagine giving your tithes, right? But you're really bringing it to Satan.
Jesus.
Imagine come to. The next word definition means come to. Imagine you want to come to God, but really because you're not in a place of true honor, you're really going to Satan. Can you imagine that? I'm going to be honest. I'll be totally honest on this phone. I have not always brought my tithes and first fruits to God. Didn't know it, but I was bringing it to Satan. Oh, Jesus.
Perfect.
It swings. It's a fine line, people of God. But when you get God's cause in your spirit, when you get his cause, what is his cause for us right now? To make us one.
Hallelujah.
And now he's telling us another cause. Let's bring him off his throne.
Yes, God.
I've given you two causes. You become one in my body, and we pull Satan down. Listen, now you have a right. Now you can honor. Tap into the cause of God. I want to be one with the body, flowing with the body, feeling and receiving a supply from the body. You can't tap into this. You can't get into the flow of the body,
Jesus,
of the blood of Jesus that flows if you're not honoring with your substance.
Jesus.
You cannot get in the flow.
Jesus.
That's why they all gave
and
asked, because the mind of the spirit said, let me make you one body. And dethrone Satan at the same time and exalt God. We honor now with a cause. God becomes heavier. Now I'm bringing to him. It swings both ways. See, I can be dim towards giving to God and light towards keeping it to try to meet my own needs. I could boast on what I got, or I can boast on God. Giving to the kingdom of darkness, giving to Satan, could be more grievous, or giving to God could feel more grievous. I could abound with God, or I could abound with trying to make it on my own. You see, it's a fine line, and the door swings both ways. It's really a fine line. Are you making God glorious, or in the parentheses of make glorious, are you making things more glorious? It's a fine line, and the door swings both ways. But if I keep the cause of God in my heart, if I keep the cause of why I honor, I don't just honor because the Bible says so. I honor because God's cause is tied to my honor.
Oh, God.
His cause is tied to it. He said, Satan talked trash to me. He had a plan. He had a plan, and it was a good plan. It's an excellent plan, because I do live in the praises of my people. If he could take my honor, he could try to wipe my existence out.
Jesus.
I didn't say his plan would ever work.
Oh, bless God.
I said it was a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, I bless you.
The definition so reveals to us how we feel. Listen, I'm going to tell you, that a lot of Christians say it's not about a feeling. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We're not robots. We're real. It reveals how we feel determines who we honor. You can't have an emotion toward God without having an understanding of why. Now you understand his cause. Now your emotions can be filled with God's emotions. Because at the end of the day, it's all about us, because God's made it all about us. I know we always say it's all about Jesus. No, God's made it all about us. He has. I want to bless you to be a blessing. It's about you.
It's the truth.
I'm going to bless you first before you can be a blessing. So it's you. It's about you. So God's saying that, he's saying, listen, if I get them in oneness, I'll be able to heal them in every way, shape, and form. God says it's all about you. And you need to start receiving that. Because when you receive that, it's all about you, you're going to make it all about God.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
When you realize it's all about you, you're going to make it all about him. And that's true love. That's true love. That's the true love, the love for God. Bible says you didn't first love him, he first loved you. Come on now. This is all about you. Tap into the cause of God and realize God is saying, listen, I want to cause you to come into a flow of my body, a flow to where my anointing is for you. And then I want to dethrone the one that has been cod blocking you. It's all about you. You're honoring God, but God is saying it's about you. I get mine, but this is for you. Hallelujah. We should be dim towards Satan in this world. God should be glorious, not things. Our hearts shouldn't be hardened about giving our substance unto the Lord. We should bring to and come to and be doing anything the Lord may be asking us to do. These emotions swing both ways when it comes to honoring God or Satan. It is a fine line, people of God. It's a fine line. Now, there's a segment. I'll probably teach this on Thursday because I've given you a mouthful today. There's a segment. I'll bring it in on Thursday. It's called Who We Honor Determines What We Own. Comes out of John 16. John 16. Anybody got stamina to keep going?
Amen.
I can knock it out in about 10, 15 minutes. Anybody got the stamina for it?
Amen.
All right. Okay, let's go. Who we honor determines what we own. In John chapter 16, verses 17 through 33, it's a little bit of reading, but listen, this is really powerful. Yeah, I can knock it out quick. It says, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us a little while, and you shall not see me? And again a little while, and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father. So they were confused. Jesus was telling them, you won't see me. You're not going to see me in a little while, but then in a little while, I'll be back and you'll see me again. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily, verily. So Jesus is peeping their thoughts. Nobody asked him. They desired to ask him, but nobody said anything. It says here, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that is a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. I love this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, his disciples, after Jesus breaks that all down, his disciples get all geeked up. They don't even get geeked up about what he said. They got geeked up at the fact that he read their thoughts. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now, they're not even into what he's saying. They're into the fact that he made it plain, but they're really blown away at his discernment on all of their thoughts. Now, they say, now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Not even what he said, just the fact that he broke it down. Now that they believe that he came forth from God. Now watch this. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, it is now come that you shall be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now listen to what Jesus says here. These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. So basically, in the world, I'm going to read the rest. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All right, watch this now. So now, listen. Who you honor will determine what you own.
Amen.
Now, what took place here was Jesus. He really brought them into a place where he knew they wouldn't understand. So I'd have to say, I know the Lord is not the author of confusion, and I understand the depth of that, what that means. But Jesus in this light did bring them in confusion. He did, and he did it on purpose, because when he broke down what they needed to know without them asking, it gave them peace. So he wanted to give them a hands-on of what happens when you're in my rhema and my rhema's coming to you and things are not confusing. And I thought about this here. This was really powerful. He said, in me. So it was a hands-on lesson they were learning.
Amen.
They didn't understand. What do you mean? You're going to be gone for a while, then you're coming back for a while. What does this mean? And nobody asked, but they wanted to ask, but nobody did. So when Jesus broke it down without them asking, he gave them a hands-on. These things have I spoken unto you. He said, I said it just like I did, so you could see that in me, you might have peace.
Amen.
In the world, you shall have tribulation. And I want to tell you this. When we don't honor God, we're moving in the world, people.
That's right.
So we become, listen, watch this. The word have means own or possess. That when I'm in the rhema, doing it according to the rhema, I own peace. I possess peace. It actually means I'm clothed in peace. But if I move and I honor the enemy, if I'm honoring Satan, I now become owner of tribulation. I become owner or possessor of the tribulation. But Jesus said, listen, look at this. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, I own the world. I have. I become owners by overcoming the world. It's mine. Listen, watch this now. So his disciples didn't understand what he was saying. They were confused at him saying, a little while and I'm going to leave you, and yet a little while and I'll come unto you again. Jesus perceived their thoughts. It's almost like he consciously confused them so he could give them a lesson hands-on. He wanted to show them that he could solve their dilemmas without them even asking, as long
Amen,
as they
God.
Were with him
Amen.
Or in him. When we are with him in his rhema, when we're in the rhema word, he shows us the same thing without even having to ask. This is the level of peace that we achieve. He said to them, and he's saying to us, in me you shall have. Again, the word have means, it means to own or to hold in possession or to be clothed in something. We own peace when we are in him. Listen, substance of all kinds now is able to find us. We become owners of peace. Remember what peace is. It's not just tranquility of the mind. It means God's prosperity. It means God's favor. It means God's welfare. We become owners of it. We learned this before. But listen, now, when we're not in the place of honoring, we then become owners of tribulation. And this is what the word tribulation means. It means pressure. It means burdens. It means anguish. It means trouble or oppression. It means distress and affliction. So now, who you honor will determine what you own. Do you want to be an owner of God's peace, or do you want to be an owner of tribulation? See, in him, I have peace. How do I get in him? Well, he's speaking a word to us about coming into true honor. He's even taught us the cause of honoring him, why we would honor him. He's given us the cause. He's given us the factor. He's given us understanding. He's trying to. So in him is what is being in him is doing what he's saying. But if I don't, if I stay where I always was, if I'm grievous, if I'm dim about it, if I don't feel it's dull, if I'm not wrapped in true honor, then I'm not in him. And I become an owner of all of that mess, all of the tribulation. But watch this. When I honor, he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wait a minute. When I honor, it means I'm coming out. I'm moving out of tribulation. I'm coming out of pressure, burdens, anguish, trouble, oppression, distress, afflictions. I'm coming out of that. Why? Because he said, I've overcome it. So honoring God, watch this now, is greater than doing things like you've always done it. So who would you choose to honor? One beat the other. Satan said he was going to beat God. Remember in the beginning of our message here, he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above his. That's what he said. But God proves through Christ, he never did it. Daryl, you said this the other day, if you're on the line, you said, taste and see. The Lord is good. He's gracious. Taste and see. Watch. Amen. There is a winner Amen. Here. And the winner is Christ, our Lord. If you honor him, he'll show you. Honoring him has far more value and worth than honoring Satan. There's only one winner, and it's our God. So if you're facing tribulation of every kind, get back in the Rhema word. Do what the word is saying to do. Watch how fast the fullness of his peace finds you. When we honor wrong, we become owners of tribulation. But when we honor correctly, we become owners of his peace, the shalom, the shalom, and the shalva start to work for you. And that's all I got for you today. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless you, God.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You got the cause now. You've got the exact cause behind this whole thing. You have the reason. You know why. You understand it now. You got it. It's there. It's there, the purpose behind it. We're becoming one. We're becoming the body of Jesus
Christ. Bless God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's tied to the honor. Satan has tried to make our thigh his throne. We are dethroning him when we honor the Lord with our substance. Satan has no more seat of authority. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. And let me tell you what it means. It's not talking about a hoarder in that sentence. No, but it's talking about someone that will put either the lack thereof or the abundance thereof above God, above the honor unto God. That gives access to all evil in our lives. We can dethrone that just by honoring the Lord with our substance, understanding the cause behind why we're worshiping in our giving. We're becoming one, my God. No. We're becoming one. We're becoming equal. You could have great possessions and I could have little, but if both of our mindsets are to honor God, we are exactly the same. When you take no thought of the things in which you have, calling them your own, and I do the same, we are one in the mind of God. We are one in the body. It doesn't matter if I have little and you have much, as long as we both have the same mindset, all of it belongs to Him. Now the flow of the blood of Jesus can flow in the joints of the body. Now we can see miracle signs and wonders. Now we can see an outbreak of God's prosperity, His welfare. Now we can experience kingdom living because we tore down Satan and his kingdom. All because we tapped into the cause of our God and we honor because of Him. His plan, which is pointing, saying, I'm about you. That's what I'm looking at. I'm all about you. And you're going to fall in love with him because you're going to realize he's all about you. It's going to cause your honor to be organic and authentic because you're doing it out of his cause. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless you, God.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Bless you, Lord God.
But today, come on, let me get a few more of you to dethrone Satan. Let me get a few more of you that will take him down from off his throne, from sitting on the thigh of the body. I'm tired of not seeing the body full of power. Tired of not seeing the body full of prosperity. I'm sick and tired of seeing the body oppressed, beaten down, stagnated. It's time to rise up above this mess. It's time. Jesus. Take a moment and think of the cause.
Hallelujah.
Take a moment and feel it. Get it and imbibe it. Smoke it. Bring it to the head. And just think of the cause of why you're doing what you're doing. That every day when you wake up, it doesn't matter what you got in your account. You'll say, you know what? It's yours, Lord. What is it? Is there anything? Anything of my belongings? Anything of my possessions? Is there anything? Anything that I have value and put value on that you want from me? I want to be a part of this body. And I certainly want to dethrone Satan. Jesus. So no longer. Don't let him sit on our thigh. Kudos to you again, Elder Allison, for that word. But people of God, no longer, don't let him sit on our thigh anymore. Don't let him sit there. Elder Allison says, wow, wow, wow. And Elder Donna says, bless you, God. Jesus. Jesus. If you want to change the attitude in how you give, if you want organic and authentic worship, meditate on the cause and honor him. Meditate on the factors. And honor him. Father, we bless you for your word today. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory for it. Dethroning Satan is easier than I could ever have imagined. You said that you would bruise him under our feet shortly, and now I know why. Because on your thigh is written King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We are the kings that you're king over. We are the lords that you are lord over. We're tied in victory. We're tied in victory. You did it. The substance you gave was your life. You gave your life, Lord Jesus. And you deserve to have written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You did not hold back. You gave all the way down to your life. You said most of us, Paul said, most of us will not even have to strive unto bloodshed. But you strove unto your giving of your life. You gave your substance. Give us the same mindset. You had a cause behind it. Help us to understand the cause is still alive. That in giving it, we become your body. We become what was bruised and what was beaten. But we also become what was resurrected in power.
Yes, God.
By releasing our substance, we become what was resurrected in power. Help us to tap into the vision. And with that cause, help us to honor you. Does True Gospel Ministries honor you for nothing? No, we don't. We do it with an understanding, Jesus. We do it understanding what you're accomplishing in us. And ultimately what you'll accomplish around the world. So we give you praise.
Thank
you. We dethrone Satan today. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our understanding, Master. Oh, there's freedom in worship right now. There's freedom in worship. I'm not just saying this. If you're sowing a seed, if you're going to be giving today, there's freedom in worship right now because the cause of the Lord is on the atmosphere. If you're going to give God of any kind of seed or substance, if you're going to honor the Lord, do it now with an understanding of his cause. We're dethroning Satan. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God. And we're becoming one.
We're becoming
the body in our honoring here. And this honors our God. This honors him. This gives him honor. It does give him praise. And Satan's plan is null and void as we do it right now. As we release right now, the plan that he had over you is null and void. The power that he had over you is null and void. The stagnation he had over you is null and void. It's all null and void. There's a breakthrough. There's an outbreak. There's an anointing right here, right now for you because you're dethroning the one that's been trying to stop and hinder the peace of God from flowing through
you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God.
There's an anointing right now. There's manifestation right now. Satan, we are tearing your kingdom down. We are tearing your kingdom down. We are tearing your kingdom down.
Hallelujah, God.
And you're going to be bruised under our feet. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah,
God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ah, Jesus, there's an anointing on the line. There's a severing going on the line. There's a severing that's taking place right now. I mean, a tremendous severing. There's a severing. Glory be to God. There's a severing happening. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. My God, my God, my God, my God. Ooh, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Master. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Master. Oh, God, it's an anointing. There's liberty here. There's freedom here. There's a tremendous severing. There's separation between you and him. Tremendous separation between you and him. Glory be to God. It's victory. Such victory right now. There's such victory.
Hallelujah.
Such victory.
Thank you, God.
Such victory, my God.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord.
It's victory. It's victory. It's victory.
Hallelujah.
It's victory. His victory. He's broken the rod. He's broken the rod of oppression. He's broken the rod. I'm telling you right now, he's broken the rod. The staff of his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
The rod of his oppression has been broken for you.
Hallelujah. Staff. Hallelujah, God.
The staff of his shoulder. Off.
Oh.
See, you have to understand, I believe it's the word staff that means rising early. Satan would try to rise early. That's what he was, the son of the morning. He would try to rise early and oppress you. But when you don't honor him with that substance, he can't rise early and oppress you. I'm telling you, the rod of this oppression has been broken. He can't catch you early in the morning. Why? Because your substance is now God's. It belongs to God. He has nothing to oppress you with. The rod and his staff. There's a new rod and staff.
Oh.
It's coming from the king. His rod and staff will comfort you. Because you shifted who you honor.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus, I give you glory. Man, there's an anointing of breakthrough that is on this line right now. There's an anointing. God told me when he spoke this word to me in John 16, he told me there will be instant manifestation that's going to continue to go on. He said, just like they had a hands-on experience, he said, you also will have hands-on experiences as my word is coming forth. It will be hands-on. Job said it like this. He said at the very end, he said, I used to know you with the hearing of my ears, but now I know you with the seeing of my eyes. The seeing of your eyes is about to really, I'm talking, take flight. There's coming manifestations of God's glory.
Hallelujah, God.
Manifestations, hallelujah. Why? Because there's been an exchange that's been made. Satan is no longer on the throne controlling and dictating your outcome. He's no longer the one controlling and dictating. He had an in on you all this time because of the substance. But now that you're changing because you understand the cause of what you're doing, God is releasing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
God has taken the position.
Thank you.
Once again.
Thank you.
God has taken the position of being on the throne. Ruler. Controller. Source. Waymaker. He's right there. Hey, glory be to God. Hey, glory be to God. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory be to God. 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 Ooh, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. 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 You guys know the drill. If you're honoring God with whatever you're giving,